chuckle from that, but I guess not.
You used to be fun.
Is that the spider?
That was me. I was the spider guy. So I know that you know, that's kind of cute, kind of cheesy, but it points to a certain reality that at any given moment in life, you and I are walking in fear or faith. And sometimes there's a combination of both. And what we choose makes all the difference in the world. Just think about it. Each one of you is exercising faith right now. You are exercising faith that the chair you are sitting in will hold you up. When I was sitting before, I was exercising more faith than most of you. But the other day, I was visiting with Marvin, and I came, and he said, "Have a seat." And I looked at the chair, and I said, is that chair going to hold me up?" And he said, yeah. People sit in it all the time. I'm like, "Well, people sit in it all the time, but I don't sit in that chair all the time." And so I sat down, but I did one of those things where I didn't really trust the chair, so I leaned forward, and I was kind of holding some of my weight up. And you know, it's no big deal. You know, we sat out there a half hour or so, but I wasn't as comfortable as Marvin. And you think about it, what if we do that in life? What if I decided, like, every time I saw a chair, I'm freaked out, I'm panicking, I'm not going to sit in that chair. Eventually, I quit going out, right? I quit going to places. And I know that sounds a little weird, but I think we do that in life. I really think many of us allow fear to hold us back from what God has for us. That there are things that God wants to do in relationships with people, and relationships that you have, callings that God has on your life, opportunities that God has for you, that we miss out because we allow fear to control us. And I want us to move on beyond that, because Jesus said, "I came that you may have life, and you may have it abundantly." And here's my hope, here's my prayer, that each one of you, as individuals, will experience all of the life that God has for you. And then I have a hope and a prayer for all of us, that all of us collectively will experience the hope, all that God has for us. And so I want you to do something this morning. I want you to think this through as I'm going through this sermon. I want you to name the fear, and you probably already know what it is. Name the fear that's in your life that's holding you back from being all that God wants you to be. You know, what is it? Is it fear of success? Is it fear of failure? Is it fear of rejection? Whatever that fear is, I want you to name that out. You don't stand up and yell it out or anything like that. But name that fear, and then as we're going through, just ask yourself, what is the truth? What is the truth that I need to replace to walk in what God has for me? And we're going to look at this really great prayer in Psalm 91. If you don't have a Bible, we have these, and it's on page 456, so it's going to be real easy for you to find. I always hate that when I'm in church and they say, "Turn to this passage, it's a well-known one." And I'm like, "Man, I'm a pastor, I better find this quickly, or I'm going to look like an idiot." But it's on page 456. It'll also be up on the wall behind me, and it's probably on your phone. Psalm 91, beginning at verse 1. And the Bible reads, I'm going to wait on those papers. "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust him. He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near you, near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call on me, I will answer, and I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Man, that is powerful stuff.
Yes.
But I'm going to be real honest with you. I struggled when I read this passage earlier in the week. And I started to ask this question. What does this passage mean to my friends that are battling cancer right now? What about my friends that are battling addiction, that are having trouble with their kids, that are facing serious losses? And so I look at that and I say, Lord, does this passage apply to them? And then I looked, and there's a book out there. I don't necessarily recommend the book, but it was calling this psalm the soldier's prayer, and many people have called this the soldier's prayer for years. The premise in this book was pray this prayer if your loved one's out on the battlefield, or if you're out on the battlefield, and you're going to come home safely. And I thought about that, and I thought, I have no doubt that God does respond to our prayers. And I have no doubt that there are people that came home safely from the battlefield because of faith and because of praying. But my question is, for those that didn't return, did God fail? Did the psalm fail? Does God not care about them? Did they lose faith? Is that the issue here? No. I don't think any of that. And I don't think what this song is about. I think there's a lot more going on. And if you're dealing... here's one of the things I've noticed. Not only people deal with fear, a lot of us deal with guilt. You know, man, if I just said the right thing in that moment. You know, and if I prayed three more times, this thing wouldn't have happened. Well, my hope is that you can find some freedom today. Here's the thing. We got to understand this. When we look at something like this, God is not moved by formulas. You know, God lives in relationship. He doesn't live in formulas. In fact, the eternal God has always been in relationship. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is a relationship. And this psalm isn't a magical incantation. You know what a magical incantation is? That's where you say the right words. And everything is fixed and it's going to go your way. As if God's up there, he's a cosmic bellhop or a genie. And he's saying, okay, tell me your wish and I'll fix that. And you know what that is? That's power and control disconnected from a relationship. And that's not what we want. And when we look at this, certainly God is the most powerful being in the universe. But he is a powerful being that is an all-loving God. And he is committed to a relationship with his creation. And in that commitment, God is in the process of restoring all things. And that includes you and I. And God's purpose is that you become like His Son. God is working in your life so that you can be all that He has created you to be. And in other words, if you can hear my voice in here, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And one of the things that stops us from experiencing that purpose is fear. We say, well, what if I surrender that? What if I go forward? Because this looks scary. This looks dangerous. This is much safer over here. And so we lose out on what God has for us because we walk in fear rather than faith. And I'm going to tell you, that was really cool you sang that Zach Williams song. I'm loving that. There's another Zach Williams song that I just want to tell you up front. Fear, he is a liar. Okay? Fear is a liar. Like the lyrics say, he will take your breath. He will stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob you of your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear into the fire. His fear, he is a liar. True? Anybody experience that? Fear is a liar. So now this particular psalm that we're looking at, Psalm 91, did some research, and there's three people they think may have written it. It could have been Moses, and that's a minority opinion. David and Solomon are the two most popular ones of who wrote this psalm. But again, there's a bigger picture than all that as to who wrote this. Because ultimately, all of Scripture is about Christ. It's about what Christ is going to do in the world. And in fact, the devil knew that this passage was about Jesus. In fact, the devil quoted this passage to Jesus when he brought him up on the high place of the temple. And here's what Satan said to the Son of God. Matthew 4:6. He said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the Scriptures say, and he's going to quote Psalm 91, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Now, Satan was right about one thing. The passage applied to Jesus. But he was wrong in his application. You know, he's doing the magical incantation that we talked about. He wanted Jesus to use this apart from a relationship with God. And Jesus had some words for Satan about that. But here's some really good news. If this passage is about Jesus, I believe it is, then these promises are for us. Because 2 Corinthians tells us this. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. So all the promises are fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, or literally the word amen means so be it. So when somebody's praying and you close with amen, that's not like the end. It's like, yes, so be it, Lord. May that be answered. And the Bible says, our amen, our yes, ascends to God for His glory. That's pretty cool that we can sit here and pray, and that goes up to God. And that ascends to Him, and it's for His glory. That's really cool, but we got to move on. There's four promises that I want to point out that are in this passage that I think will help us leave fear and walk in faith. And the first one is found in verses 1 through 4, and it's this. God is our refuge in times of trouble. God is our refuge in times of trouble. The King James says that God is our hiding place. Others say He is our shelter. I like Colossians put something very similar the book of Colossians 3:3, it says this: "For you have died to this life." So that old life you were living that got all messed up.
Yeah.
He says, "You have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." And I'm thinking, there's a lot of comfort in that. Knowing that whatever I'm facing, no matter what's coming my way, whatever I'm afraid of, Christ has me. I'm hidden in Christ. The psalmist puts it this way. It's really a beautiful picture. He says, "He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection." Man, that's a place of comfort there where God's got you under his wings. Now, a little story here. When I was younger, I used to be terrified of things like haunted houses. By the time I became a teenager, I just kind of sit back and enjoy watching like the teenage girls scream and run and what have you. But when I was a little kid, I was like those teenage girls. I was just terrified with those things. And one year, my older brother and his friend, they wanted to go to a Southern California amusement park called Knott's Berry Farm. Anybody ever been there? Okay, very cool. Yeah, that was right near my house. During Halloween, they redecorate the whole place. They bring in fog machines and they hire all kinds of weird looking, creepy dudes that walk through the park and just scare you to pieces. And they call the place Knott's Scary Farm. So in this process of my brother saying he wanted to go, I'm that little brother that's 3 years younger that says, "Well, I want to go too." And it was one of those things where my parents said, "Well, if you go, you have to take your brother." And man, that was such a dumb decision on my part. So we get there. I'm 9 years old. And we went on this first ride called the Calico Mine Ride, which normally it's like a really nice, peaceful ride. You're going through what looks like an active gold mine, and you're going through, and it's really calm. Well, on this night, they've got fog machines, it's dark in there, and there's strobe lights, and there's these dudes jumping out with chainsaws. And now, like in my head, I'm thinking, I know these guys work here, maybe, but then I'm thinking, how did they know some psycho dude didn't come in with a real chainsaw? Now there was this rather large-sized woman that was sitting next to me in the train. And she could tell I was scared. She looked over at me and she says, "Honey, don't worry. Something come down and touch me, I'm going to knock them out." And in that moment, I thought, I've got two choices here. I could scream like a girl for the rest of this ride, or I can do the most manly thing I could think of right now. And I lifted up my arm and stuck my head under her arm. And hid under her arm throughout the rest of the ride. And because here's my thinking. They might get me, but they got to go through her first. And this woman was confident, and I like my chances hiding under her arm than I did going through. And so I didn't scream the whole ride. I was safe and I was secure. Now here's the thing. Some of you are going through some really difficult things. Some of you have to face a fear, and there's not going to be an escape. Like on the ride, I couldn't get off that ride. I had to go through the ride. And here's the reality. No matter how bad it gets, whatever's coming to you has to go through Christ first. You are sheltered in there. No matter what is coming, you are hidden in God. You're hidden in Christ. He's got you covered. He's got you sheltered in his wings. He knows what's coming around the corner. You know, when that train's turning the corner, he knows something's going to jump out. Something's going to try to rattle you. And he wants you to know, I'm going to be there. I have you sheltered. And we need to rest in the comfort of his arms. The second thing is found in verses 5 through 7. You can face your fear. You can actually face your fear. Why can you do that? Because you're secure in Christ. You're in that position in Christ. And nobody, there's no outside force that can come in and take you from that position. Now you yourself can say, you know, I don't want to be in that position or what have you. But nothing can remove you from that. You're in a secure position from Christ. The psalmist says this, verse 5, he says, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Notice what he doesn't say here. He doesn't say, if you are in Christ, these things aren't coming. He says, don't fear them. It's almost as if God is saying, I've got you. In the midst of this trial, you can become all that I've designed you to be. In fact, sometimes it's not until the trial that we start to realize who God has called us to be. It's in the middle of that trial that God is working on our lives, and he's transforming us, and he's shaping us into who he's called us to be. And my advice to you is don't allow fear to paralyze you in that. God has got you. God will carry you through that. The Lord himself said this, John 16:33. He says, I have told you all of this that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. He said, but take heart because I have overcome the world. You hear that?
Yes.
What he's telling us is that enemy, that thing that I fear, it's already been defeated.
Yeah.
I mean, who's afraid of a defeated enemy? Mm-hmm. He's already been defeated. It's kind of like going through that ride. Mm-hmm. It's just all flashes and sounds and what have you. I'm secure the whole way.
Right.
You are dealing with a defeated enemy. Fear is a liar. Rest in the peace. Rest in God's loving hands. Verses 9 through 13 tells us this, number 3. God will provide miraculous protection. Not just protection, miraculous protection. And I want you to notice who this is for. Verse 9 says, if you make the Lord your refuge. In other words, this isn't if you're smarter than everyone else, if you're stronger than everyone else, if you have special strengths, abilities, the right education, then all of this is yours. He says, no. If you make the Lord your refuge.
Lord.
What he's saying is the solution here is trust in Christ. That's what we do. We trust in Christ. Now here's the problem. And some of you are probably guilty of this. I know I'm guilty of this. We take all these things upon ourselves. And then we say, okay, I'm going to face this. And we face it alone. And then we get to the place where we say, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. And you're partially right in that. But the problem is you are fighting a battle that you may not have been intended to ever fight. Or you're fighting a battle that God has called you into, but you're fighting it with the wrong weapons. You're fighting it with the flesh rather than the provision that God has for you. And the problem is we tell God how big our problems are rather than telling our problems how big our God is. Okay, God has got you in the midst of your problems. And look what he provides. This is pretty cool. Verse 11, it says, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Man, isn't that good? Because here's the thing. We see our problems, right?
Yeah.
And we see what's going on, and there's a whole lot going on that we don't even know about. Even before we go to God in prayer, there are things going around us that we don't even know. And verse 13 says this: "You will trample upon lions and cobras, and you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet." And some of you are looking, saying, "I think he's talking about that person over there, not me." Now, here's the thing. This could be literal. I don't think it is. I think it's a spiritual thing. And I'm not ruling out the literal. But I think he's talking about spiritual forces. Like, I'll give you an example. Revelation 22. Talking about Jesus. It says, "He seized the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him in chains for 1,000 years. In other words, God is saying, "I'm going to give you power over spiritual enemies." And these sound like pretty fierce ones, right? Lions and cobras. And he says, "But you can crush those under your feet by the power of God working in you and through you." And here's the thing. You think about that. You and I have authority over spiritual enemies, some of the greatest forces in the universe. And sometimes we allow fear to keep us stuck in earthly battles when we have power to defeat spiritual enemies. God has given you what you need. Think of your fear, think of your trial. God has either given you what you need, or he will give it to you when you need it.
Yes.
But God has what you need. That last one, verses 14 through 16, you have God's personal pledge. Let me read this. Verse 14, it says, "The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation." I'm looking at that and I'm saying, you know, that's pretty cool, because God brings in people into our lives. And how many of you are thankful that God brought, like, the right person in your life when you were dealing with something?
Yeah.
Okay. And he does that. And he brings in these spiritual forces, these angelic beings on our behalf. But God says, "I'm going to take it one more. Not only do you have that, but I myself will be with you in trouble." You know, and sometimes people say, well, where was God when this happened? I say, I don't know where he was at, but he was at the same place when his son died on the cross. God is with you in the middle of the trials you're facing. Come what may, life, death, safety, trial, God is with you. God is with you, God is for you, and in his time, he will deliver you. This life or the life to come, all of his promises will be answered. Psalm 27, David says this. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid?" That's a great question, right? "The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble?" The writer of Hebrews says this: "So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" What can they do to me when God says, "I have you in the shelter of my arms, the shelter of my wings. You are hidden in Christ. What can man do to me?" Romans 8:31 says this: "And what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" Later in Romans chapter 8, it says this in verse 38. He says, "For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." Nothing's going to remove you from that protection, from that shelter. He says, "Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or worries for tomorrow, Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or above or in the earth. Indeed, nothing in all of creation. That pretty much sums it up, right? All the possible trials that can come our way. He says, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here's my challenge I want to close you with. You've probably been thinking about that fear. You've probably been thinking about that relationship or that opportunity that you're not walking in because of that fear. And I want to ask you today, is today a good day to surrender that? Is today a good day to say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know you've got me. And I know no matter what I face, you are with me. You are for me, and all of your promises are yes and amen. Amen. And replace that fear with truth. Let me pray, and then I'm going to have the worship team come back up. Lord God, we're so thankful, God. You are an awesome and mighty God. And you're there for us. You're with us. And I lift up the many trials and struggles. And Lord, I know some of them are great. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, no matter how great that trial is, that in the midst of that trial, we would trust in you. We would have hope in you. We would have faith in you. And know, Lord God, that we can cling to you. Even in the midst of fear, Lord, we can cling to you. We love you and we praise you, Lord. Have your way with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.